Menopause, perimenopause, these can be some of the most uncomfortable phases of a woman's life. If you find yourself in either of these, well, Hormone Harmony is here for you. Hormone Harmony capsules contain science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life.
Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it really shows.
And get this, Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it is perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold.
And for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code DRESSED at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code DRESSED for 15% off today.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples. Dress listeners, if you suffer from seasonal allergies like me, Astapro is your new go-to. It has been super helpful to me this spring as it bursts into full bloom.
And that's because Astapro is the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter solution for nasal allergy symptoms. Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes while other allergy sprays take hours.
Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. And Astapro delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. You too can get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief like I have with Astapro. It gets me back in the game, ready to record the show for all of you.
Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go today. That's Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies. Dressed, the History of Fashion is a production of Dressed Media. With over 8 billion people in the world, we all have one thing in common. Every day, we all get dressed.
Welcome to Dressed, the History of Fashion, a podcast where we explore the who, what, when of why we wear. We are fashion historians and your hosts, April Callahan
and Cassidy Zachary. Hello, dress listeners. I am super excited about this episode today. So I think I have shared this before on the show, but my love for art, magic, and history of fashion was planted at a very young age, and books were really the entry point to all of that. And my mom taught my sister and I to believe in magic when we were growing up, so we were convinced that there were fairies living in our trees and angels watching over us. And
amazing.
It was amazing. It really was so whimsical. And all of this was nurtured by the many wonderful books she would read to us of these whimsical, fantastical places populated by the most wonderful people brought to life at the hands of various storytellers and illustrators. And these people we would meet were always wearing the most wonderful clothing, so much so that even though it has been years, decades since I've revisited these books, I still remember them so vividly. And of course, that is really translated into this full-blown career studying the art, heart, and history of books. And as you all know, a bona fide book collecting habit. And thus is the power of reading to your children. So, April, I'm curious, do you have any fond memories of reading from your childhood?
Oh my gosh, I was the biggest reader. I could actually read before I went to kindergarten. Like, they would let me go into the middle school section of the books when I was in elementary school. And I read all the old Nancy Drew books. And then I started collecting the new ones when they did that. And basically, long story short, this is no big surprise to anyone who knows me well. I spent all of my allowance buying books. So yes, absolutely.
Yeah. It's just so wonderful and such a wonderful entry point, especially in the world of screens that we all live in now. Of course, we grew up with TVs, but I never was in front of one. We were always outside or I was reading. And the wonderful thing about reading, and not even just picture books, right, is that your imagination just takes flight, especially when you're reading non-picture books, and you create these entire worlds in your head as a child. And obviously, that's something that is carried in to our adulthood, April, and something that we share. And I was reflecting on my favorite childhood books lately, and it occurred to me that this would actually be a really fun episode of Dressed, because while we have recommended innumerable books to you dress listers, our fashion history loving audience. We have not recommended nearly enough books that might help to mold the children in your life into future fashion lovers, which is now a goal.
Yes. So today's episode is dedicated to doing just that. We're going to share some favorite fashion and fashion history books for kids, with the caveat, of course, that this is in no means an exhaustive list. And we will link to as many of these books as we possibly can on our dress bookshelf. Cass, would you like to start us off?
Yes, I would. And no better place to begin than, of course, once upon a time, long ago, when giants still roamed the earth and terrified people, there lived a lively young boy named Bertram, who worked as a tailor and sewed fine gowns and handsome jackets, but he would much rather have been out in the world seeking adventure. All day as he sat stitching in his shop, he dreamed of killing giants, fighting dragons, and rescuing lovely maidens. In his dreams, he was always a great hero, of course, and much honored wherever he went. So needless to say, fairy tales represent some of children's first ever encounters with the art of storytelling, and they were certainly mine. And what I just read is the beginning of a story, 7 in 1 Blow, and it's just one of several stories featured in a book my mother would often read to me from, A Treasury of the World's Greatest Fairy Tales.
So this book was first published by the Italian publishing house Fratelli Fabbri Editori, which was run by the brothers who were Giovanni, Dino, and Ettore Marino Fabbri, who it looks like were responsible for the text and also the illustrations. So even if 7 in 1 Blow might not be a familiar tale to some of our listeners, other stories featured in this book will be, including Puss in Boots, The Ugly Duckling, Rapunzel, Hansel and Gretel, all of which were accompanied by charming illustrations depicting the illustrator's own interpretation of historical styles.
Yes, and this is true of a lot of depictions of our favorite fairy tales, right? And we're talking, of course, styles. We're talking about dress styles. And the illustrators seek to at least attempt to root once upon a time in a land far, far away. They try to root that in at least some loosely recognizable period. And the easiest way to do that is through clothing. So just think of Disney's depictions of Sleeping Beauty or Cinderella or Snow White. And they're set in these very popular or recognizable eras that seem to be loosely the Middle Ages and the Renaissance. That's certainly the case with this particular book that I just mentioned, as well as another of my favorites, which is Rumpelstiltskin, as retold and illustrated by Paul O. Zielinski.
So for those who might not be familiar with this popular Grimm's fairy tale, it's brought to life in vivid detail in a late medieval setting with wonderful fashions to match. And the book begins, quote, "Once there was a poor miller who had a beautiful daughter. On his way to town one day, the miller encountered the king, apparently, as you just do, you know, going down the street. Wanting to impress him, the miller said, 'I have a daughter who knows the art of spinning straw into gold.' Now, the king had a passion for gold, and such an art intrigued him, so he ordered the miller to send his daughter to the castle straight away." Okay, this is already messed up.
I know.
"When the girl was brought before him, the king led her to a room that was filled with straw. He gave her spools and a spinning wheel, and he said, 'You may spin all night, but if you have not spun the straw into gold by morning, you will have to die.'"
Yeah.
Okay. This is where we acknowledge that Grimm's fairy tales can also get incredibly dark. And I do, at some point, I want to talk about a fashion thing that has to do with Cinderella, but let's stay on topic here.
Yes. So the miller's daughter does not know how to sew straw into gold. And just when she thinks hope is lost, she is saved by a quote unquote little man who promises to help her. She just has to promise her firstborn child to him in exchange. And thinking of no other way to save her life, she agrees. And dress listeners, you're just going to have to get your hands on this book to figure out how it ends.
But first, more historical fashion. Cass, I happen to know that one of your all-time favorite children's books is the 1990 book, The Lady with the Ship on Her Head, which was by Deborah Norse Lattimore, because you have mentioned this several times on this show, so our listeners might be familiar with it. I think you mentioned it in the episode when you interviewed Kimberly Chrisman Campbell about Rose Bertin and Marie Antoinette. And you did that, of course, because the late 18th century fad for poofs, that was the trend where women wore any number of things in their hair, including ships.
Yes, and this book is clearly rooted, pun intended, in the 1770s when the poofs were the literal height of fashion. And Deborah clearly looked to fashion plates of the era for her illustrations, which are wonderful, and clearly take inspiration from contemporary art, I would argue, of the 18th century. And on the very first page of this story, we are introduced to a very disgruntled Madame Pompenstance, who lays strewn across a chaise couch. She wears a robe à l'anglaise, and her panniers are pushed to one side, and in her hands she holds her head, atop of which stands a butterfly-bedecked hairstyle that has clearly gone awry.
The book begins, quote, "For 15 years, Madame Pompenstance had wanted to win the Medal of Honor for the best headdress at the fancy dress ball. But every year, the medal went to someone else, usually one of her friends. This year, she planned many designs, but none seemed quite right. She hoped, as always, for a miracle. When the day of the ball arrived, Madame Pompenstance strolled down to the beach. The seashore is a good place to clear one's mind, she thought. The sand was littered with magnificent shells, beach flowers, shiny stones, and dried starfish. Perhaps a shell or two would do the trick, she said to herself, placing a few in her hair. It's not much, but it will be better than nothing."
Just at that moment, a very small, triple-masted sailing ship put into port. Madame Pompenstance bent over to admire a particularly handsome shell, and the small ship rode right onto her head. "Strange, but the sun is beating down on my head in a rather fierce way," she thought. So what follows in this story is a comedy of errors as Madame Pompenstance proceeds throughout her day, not knowing that she has this fabulous, incredibly heavy, real-life ship complete with a real-life miniature crew atop her head. And you will just have to get your hands on this book again, dress listeners, to find out how it ends.
And the books that we have mentioned so far are inspired by Western Euro-American fashions, but there are, of course, innumerable books out there that feature stories and fashions from cultures all around the world.
Yes, and one of my favorite children's books, although again, revisiting it, it's a very dark story, but it's a favorite. And that's Baba Yaga and Vasilisa the Brave, as told by Mariana Meyer and featuring the most wonderful illustrations by Kanuko Y. Kraft. So this is a famous Russian folktale, and it was recorded by the renowned 19th century folklorist Alexander Afanasyev, who collected and published more than 600 Russian folk and fairy tales.
And it centers around the brave and beautiful heroine Vasilisa, whose evil stepmother plots to get rid of her orphaned stepdaughter, her, by sending her in the middle of the night to fetch a flame from the known cannibal Baba Yaga. But thanks to Vasilisa's quick thinking and the help of her living doll created for her by her mother, she outwits Baba Yaga, who kills her stepmother and stepsisters and frees her up to live her life free of abuse and torment. And then she meets an elderly woman in a neighboring village who takes her in. And Vasilisa spins thread for her and weaves the finest and most beautiful cloth anyone has ever seen. It's the majesty of this cloth that earns Vasilisa a visit with the king, who falls in love with her on first sight and makes her his wife.
Yes, and sorry to spoil the ending there, but we couldn't start with a human-eating antagonist and not tell you how that story ends. And the book has the most wonderful historical Russian fashions, from Vasilisa's more humble but no less beautiful colored and embroidered clothing to those she dons as a queen, including that beautiful arched headdress of Russian royalty, which many of you probably know what I'm talking about. If you saw pictures, you would certainly know. So revisiting these old books, it just became very apparent to me that very early on, I was being exposed to historical fashions from various cultures, but also I was being exposed to the skill and art of sewing craftsmanship, which is at the heart of many of these books. Like He's a Tailor in Seven and a Blow, and then She's Spinning in Rumpelstiltskin. And in Baba Yaga, she's weaving these wonderful cloths, and you even see her at her loom, which is just so wonderful. So I was being exposed to it as a child, and your kids can too.
Yes. And in that vein, one book we should absolutely mention that I'm sure many of our listeners are already familiar with is the award-winning book Mofaro's Beautiful Daughters, An African Tale, which was written and illustrated by John Steptoe and published in 1987. And the story at the heart of the book is based on an African folktale and follows two sisters, Nayasha and Manyara, who are opposites in just about every way, especially the way that they treat others. Manyara is selfish and she's a bully, Whereas Nyasha is kind, qualities that reveal themselves along this trek to meet the king. There's a lot of kings in these stories. And the king asked all citizens to send him their eligible daughters.
For marriage. Again.
but talk about stunning imagery in this book and the fashions on viewcast. Steptoe reportedly spent time studying an ancient city in Zimbabwe, from which he drew inspirations for motifs and all the other imagery used in the book.
Yes, and this is absolutely one of the books from my childhood that lives rent-free in my head, because Steptoe's vivid imagery is just so impactful, even if it mimics the same gender tropes, as you just referenced, of many a fairy and folktale. And that is, of course, that a woman can only be truly happy if she is valued and married by a king or a prince. So a lot of these older books and fairy tales are full of outdated gender tropes and societal values that have changed, especially concerning helpless damsels in distress rescued by knights and noble princes. I mean, in Rumpelstiltskin, the miller's daughter isn't even given a name in that book. So obviously, I would say we need to temper these sorts of tales for our kids with stories featuring strong female leads who don't need anyone else's approval but their own. And I will say that there are updated versions of Rumpelstiltskin and Baba Yaga, so you could also check those out if you do not want to read these more outdated versions to your kid. But they still are very valuable for the historical fashions.
It's so interesting, like how, I don't know, I didn't pick up on this stuff as I was a kid, but now looking at it, it's kind of horrifying.
Well, and I'm also like, Mom, you read me these books where literally the king's telling her she's going to die if she doesn't spin this. And obviously that's not what stuck with me into my adulthood. It's the vivid imagery and the whimsy of it on the magic of it. But yeah, and if you read original Grimm's fairy tales, etc., they're all very, very dark. So you could get the book and maybe change the words or just get a more updated version. But either way.
And on my note with Cinderella, I just wanted to mention very briefly, because I don't know if we're going to talk about it. But so Cinderella obviously wears quote unquote glass slippers.
Right.
So a lot of these fairy tales were originally oral traditions, right? Mm-hmm. Before they were ever written down. So they're centuries and centuries old. So it's much believed by fashion historians that that word in French, because this is a French tale, verre, V-E-R-R-E, which is a word for glass, is the same word as verre, V-A-I-R, or same pronunciation as verre, which means fur. So Cinderella's slippers weren't actually glass. They were lined with fur, which was quite common in the Middle Ages. So it is literally like a mistranslation from French into English of the oral tradition. So anyway, fun fact, fur-lined slippers, not glass.
But what would Cinderella be without her glass slippers and without that misinterpretation? Okay, dress listeners, more updated and recently published books for your kids after a brief sponsor break.
Dress listeners, whatever your reason for wanting to learn a new language, whether it's an upcoming international adventure, communicating with your friends and family abroad, or even professional purposes, Rosetta Stone has got you covered.
As the trusted expert in language learning for 30 years now, you can join millions of Rosetta Stone users to learn any of the 25 languages offered. That includes Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, and so many more.
And this is fast language acquisition, friends. There are no English translations, so you learn to speak, listen, and think in your new language. And right now, you can get lifetime access to all 25 of Rosetta Stone's language courses for 50% off. That's language learning for 25 languages for the rest of your life, which, Cass, is frankly amazing.
It is. And what are you waiting for, dress listeners? Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, dress listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Dress listeners, did you know that you can save on everything from fashion to beauty, home decor to groceries, even kids' school supplies with Rakuten?
Rakuten is a shopping platform that partners with over 3,500 stores across every category. Beauty, clothing, electronics, home, department stores, pets, you name it. You're already shopping at your favorite stores, so why not be saving while doing it? It really is a no-brainer.
How does it work, you ask? Well, stores pay Rakuten a commission for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the commission with its members. You get paid via a check or PayPal quarterly.
Membership is free, and it's easy to sign up. So join the 17 million members who have already saved at their favorite brands. Start all your shopping at Rakuten.com or get the Rakuten app to start saving today. Your cash back really adds up. That's Rakuten.com. April, Mother's Day is just around the corner. Do you know what you are doing for your mom this year?
I sure do. This year, I'm gifting her My Life in a Book, which is this very cool service that will allow her to turn her life stories into a beautiful printed book, complete with her own photos of significant moments in her life.
Yes, this is so amazing. And dress listeners, here is how it works. So once a week, mylifeinabook.com will send your mom a question via email. And these can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions that you wish to ask. And then your mom can either type her response or she can use their voice to text feature. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book.
So join us and check out mylifeinabook.com and use the code DRESSED at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com and use the code DRESSED for 10% off today.
Welcome back, Dress listeners. So before the sponsor break, we revisited some of my personal favorite fashion history inspired or inspiring books from my childhood. And while some of the storylines were a bit outdated, luckily we have plenty of more recently published, more empowering fashion history children's books to share with you today.
Starting with 2007's My Dadima Wears a Sari by Kashmira Sheth and illustrated by Yoshiko Jagi. And the story is about Rupa, whose Dadima, which is Hindi for grandmother, wears a sari every day in America where they live, standing in stark contrast to the clothing worn by her children and her grandchildren. And the book begins, quote, "Every day my Dadima wears saris, saris as bright and cheerful as a bouquet of wildflowers. She wears them in the morning. She wears them in the evening. She wears them around the house. She wears them around the town. She wears them made out of cotton. She wears them made out of silk. Sometimes she tucks the palau, the end of the sari, tightly, and sometimes she lets it dance in the breeze."
"Your saris are beautiful, Dadima," I say one day, "but don't you get tired of wearing them?" "Never, Rupa," Dadima says. So throughout the book, Dadima shares with her granddaughter all the wonderful qualities of saris while instilling in her this appreciation for the culture and customs of her Indian heritage. It's such a beautiful book, both in the vivid watercolor illustrations and in providing such a wonderful introduction to Indian dress practices. So I will certainly be adding this to Leo's rotation of books when he gets older.
Yay! And something you might also want to add to his reading rotation, Cass, is any number of books about actual historic fashion figures. The Little People Big Dream series, which highlights hundreds of important historical figures, has numerous books on fashion designers and fashion icons, including Vivienne Westwood, Iris Apfel, and Frida Kahlo. And well, not from this particular series, there's also a couple of different beautiful picture books on Anne Lowe, who many of our listeners will recognize as the subject of our recent Dressed podcast from 2023, because we covered the exhibition Anne Lowe, American Couturier. And so I mentioned she's the subject of not one, but two children's books. One is from 2017, and it's entitled Fancy Party Gowns, The Story of Fashion Designer Anne Cole Lowe by Deborah Brumenthal and illustrated by Laura Freeman. And the other one is a more recent book, entirely different, from 2023, entitled Only the Best, The Exceptional Life and Fashions of Anne Lowe. And that was written by Kate Messner and Margaret Powell. So listeners, you're going to instantly recognize some of Lowe's more iconic creations in the pages of these two books, including Jackie Kennedy's wedding dress, which is very cool.
Yes. And while we're on the topic of designers, there's also a beautiful children's book called Bloom, a story of fashion designer Elsa Schiaparelli by Kyle McClare and illustrated by Julie Morstad. I don't actually have a copy of this, but the blurb for the book reads, by the 1930s, Elsa Schiaparelli had captivated the fashion world in Paris. But before that, she was a little girl in Rome who didn't feel pretty at all. Bloom, a story of fashion designer Elsa Schiaparelli, is an enchanting story for young readers of how a young girl used her imagination and emerged from plain to extraordinary.
And the cover is a picture of a young girl whose face and hair are covered with bright pink flowers. Of course, we've already done an episode on Schiaparelli, and if you listened to that, you may or not have caught this Bloom reference. As the book blurb continues, quote, as a young girl in Rome, Elsa Schiaparelli felt brutta, which is the Italian word for ugly, and searched all around her for beauty. Seeing the colors of Rome's flower market one day, young Elsa tried to plant seeds in her ears and nose, hoping to blossom like a flower. All she got was sick, but from that moment, she discovered her own wild imagination.
Yes, and that is a true story, and I believe something she recounts in her memoir, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
She talks about it in her autobiography.
Yeah. And Dress listeners, you might also remember something else from a past Dressed episode. We have, in fact, done an episode entirely dedicated to a fashion book for kids and teens in 2021, Jonathan Joseph. And this is actually one of our all-time most popular episodes. Jonathan joined us to discuss his book, The Little Red Dress, a kid's book about fashion, illustrated by Sylvain Borer. And as the book blurb tells us, join Kiki the model and Michelle the little red dress on a fashion illustration-filled journey about the ins and outs of the industry. Fashion-loving kids follow along with the little red dress as she tells kids her unique life story. She goes from sketch to sample, runway to showroom, photo shoot to vintage store, and even a fashion museum. The little red dress shows kids who love fashion the many paths they may want to explore as they grow.
And another past Dressed guest, famed historical costumer, also a board-certified doctor and mother who clearly does it all.
Yes.
Dr. Christine Miller recently published a book for readers 8 to 14, which is entitled History is Worn, and it has illustrations by Kate McLaughlin. And from the publisher's Honest Histories website, it says, quote, what's the story behind your shirt, pants, dress, sweater, and jacket? It's much more exciting than you may think. From the history of hoop skirts to African fashion, discover the interesting and often humorous stories behind the clothing from hundreds of years ago. Were corsets really uncomfortable? Did medieval fashion really look the way that it does in movies? These stories and much more are brought to life with illustrations and fun activities that provide a hands-on experience with fashion. And at the end of it all, you just might be able to answer the question about the history behind what you're wearing today.
A book with an arrow shot straight to our fashion history loving hearts. Dress listeners, these are but a small sampling of the glorious fashion art, culture, and history fueled world available to the young readers in your life. And we hope that this will inspire you to share your love of fashion and fashion history with them. I really do credit books with lighting that fashion loving spark in me and informing my very first connection with fashion through books' artistic and magical capabilities. And this is how I first connected with fashion and dress, and it continues to inform how I connect with fashion and dress to this day. I'm always looking for the magic of fashion. It's why I love artists like Kirsty Mitchell or Tim Walker. It's always about that surrealist, emotive, evocative nature of fashion and the emotions it stirs in me as much as any painted masterpiece.
Yeah, and book is also how I ended up becoming a fashion historian. As many of our listeners know, I was an art gallerist for almost an entire decade before one of my artists that I represented actually gave me the catalog to the Kyoto Costume Institute, and I took it home that day. It's 3 inches thick, that edition, and I read it all in 24 hours and then immediately decided to become a fashion historian. So, books, the power of books.
Yes.
That does it for us today, dress listeners. May you consider the magic and art of fashion next time you get dressed. We will try to share as many of these titles as possible on our dress bookshelf on bookshop.org, where you'll find an array of our favorite and podcast-featured fashion history titles. You'll also find a link in our show notes to our bookshelf, as well as a link to our website, which is dresshistory.com. And by the time you all listen to this, you may finally see on our website where you can sign up for our upcoming fashion history tour at Paris. Cass and I have been working very hard on this. Those dates we can now officially announce are September 28th through October 5th. So right now we're just tidying up the website a little bit and a few like last minute details, but that is going to be launched either by the time you're hearing this or very, very, very shortly after.
Yes. And of course, our website is where you will find all the information about our upcoming fashion history tours, classes, and anything else we have up our sleeves. We love hearing from you, so please feel free to write to us at hello@dressedhistory.com. You can also direct message us on Instagram at @dressed_podcast. If you want to find the Instagram content specifically connected to this episode, check out the hashtag dress359. You will find a link in our show notes also to our bookshelf, as well as the link to sign up for the ad-free version of the show, which is just $3 a month. As always, thank you so much for your continued support. More Dress coming your way next week. Dress, the History of Fashion, is a production of Dress Media.
Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day for Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.